Good morning. Today's daf and gittin is Pei Zayin. We're on Pei Vav Amud Beis. We are starting right in the middle of the Amud at the two dash Rabbi Elazar Omer, and we're going to be discussing our first point of order today is halacha. Who does halacha follow? Like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Meir. Okay, we touched on this earlier in the Masechta, really earlier in the Masechta, but here we are again, and the Gemara is now going to be siding on a very fundamental issue, and that is what is giving the get its teeth. What is exactly the battery that powers the get? Get is going to create a severance between husband and wife, and what exactly is it? So, machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar that we've gone over numerous times throughout the Masechta. So, Rav Meir says that Eide Chasimikarte. Shitas Rabbi Meir is that the witnesses who sign on the get, that is what is fueling the get. That is now the driving force of what is creating severance between husband and wife, and that is the two witnesses who are signing on the document. When the Torah says, Vikasov, you're writing, according to Rabbi Meir, that ksiva is going on the signature of the Edim. Obviously, you can't have signatures by itself. That doesn't mean anything. Obviously, according to Rabbi Meir, you need a get. You need the actual standardized text of the get, explaining who is divorcing whom. But in terms of what is the actual fuel, if you will, what is powering the get, and the answer is going to be the chasima, Eide chasima karte. Mashenken, according to Rabbi Elazar, no. In other words, you know, I don't even need witnesses signing on the document. Oh no, all I need is a document. And now, what do I need? I need a day mesira. The witnesses who are going to be standing there watching the husband giving the get to his wife. That is what's creating the creases. That's what's creating the severance between husband and wife. This is a fundamental machlokus that touches on many different issues that we've covered over the entire Masechta. Happens to be that the mission that we did yesterday, the Gimel Gittin Psulim, the three disqualified Gittin, and again, as we went over yesterday's daf, they're not disqualified Gittin. They are just simply not ideal. They are not Lechatchila Gittin. They have issues with the get. Three examples that are given in the Mishnah. The truth of the matter is there's more than three examples, and we already went over this yesterday. Why did the Mishnah cap it at three? Why didn't the Mishnah include other cases as well that are less than ideal Gittin? So the Gemara did that. That's yesterday's daf. Go back to yesterday and review what we learned yesterday, right? I did a chazara on yesterday's daf, but I strongly recommend it. Anyway, so with that stated now, so we are now turning our attention to this machlokes between Rav Elazar and Rav Meir. Rav Elazar, Amar Afa Pivachulei, Am Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Elazar, Ka Rav Elazar. So Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav says that the halacha is like Rav Elazar, but big gittin, but only on the issue of get, meaning on the topic of get. The halacha, in fact, follows like Rabbi Elazar. I'm used to coming to Shmuel. Now, when I said this in front of Shmuel, Amar, Afishtaros, no, this is not just limited to his position regarding get. This also is going to be his position regarding Shtar as well, meaning other documents as well. We made this point already numerous times. Let's say it again. And that is, this machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir is not limited to getting, but rather it's a universal debate regarding all Shtaros. Meaning, whenever you write a Shtar, which is going to create a chiyuv, a hischaivus, an obligation. In the case of get, it's not creating a hischaivus, it's creating severance. But still, in other words, a document is going to effect. And what is creating that effect? So, Rav Elazar and Rabbi Meir are going to be disputing this issue on every kind of shtar. Not only a shtar get, but a shtar mammon as well. And so what is creating the effect of it? So, once again, it's machlokes between Rav Elazar and Rav Meir. And now what the Amoraim is saying is that the halacha is like Rav Elazar where? According to Rav, it's only limited to the world of Gittin. According to Rebbe Meir, no. It's true by all kinds of documents. The Rav Safar Bishar is low. Now, the Gemara is bothered. Really, Rav is only limiting it to Gittin and not to Shtar HaKetani. We're going to go right back to our Mishnah. Begovim Nechasim Meshubadim. What you're able to do is you're able to collect from Nechasim Meshubadim. In other words, you're going to have a lien on property. So over here, you see that the effect of Eide Mesira is not just limited to get, but also to mammon as well. So Rabbi Elazar talked to Amar. So Rabbi Elazar said two things. In other words, he said that Eide Mesira are going to have an effect regarding Gitei Nashim and also regarding mammon as well. And Rav Savakavaseh Bechado, Polakala Bechado. Meaning, Nachinami. If you ask Rabbi Elazar, he'll tell you, that the effect of Eidim Mesira is true both in the world of Gittin and the world of Mammon. And as far as Rav is concerned, I know what Rav Elazar holds. Rav would tell you, yeah, I got you. I'm familiar with Rav Elazar's position in terms of where the halacha falls like Rav Elazar, only by Gittin Nashim and not by Mammon.
Good.
V'chinamar of Yaakov v'yidi amar of Yeshua ben Levi lachikar of Elazar begitin. So the Gemara quotes other Amoraim as well that are supporting this view of Rav, that the halacha is like Rav Elazar, but only when it comes to get. Only get Isha. Of Rav Yana amar filo recha get einbo. And according to Rav Yanai, so if I don't have signatures on the get, it's nothing. It's zero. Meaning, obviously, it's not only am I disputing that the halacha falls like Rav Elazar, I'm telling you the halacha falls like Rebbe Meir, and I'm going to go so far as to say that if I don't have signatures on the get, it's zero. It's not even a recha get. Rav Yana leisay de Rav Elazar. So the Gemara says, really, that's Rav Yana's position. So hachi kamar le rabbanan. So filo recha get ain't bo. No, the Gemara says no. Rav Yana is not paskening. Rav Yana is just clarifying the positions, meaning those who argue with Rav Elazar, and we can give that a name, it's called Rebbe Meir. So Rebbe Meir's position that Eide Chasima Karte, if I don't have witnesses, even if I had Eide Mesira, it's nothing, it's zero. V'chinam Rav Yossi, Rebbe Chanin Amar, Yishlach Yishlach, Rav Elazar Begitin, Rav Yochan Amar, Filo Recha Gedein Bo. So once again, same thing over here. Quoted in the name Reish Lakish, the halacha is like Rav Elazar, but only by get, not by Sharos. Rav Yochanan says that if I don't have signatures, it's zero. And again, Lamer Rav Yochanan Leisle to Rav Elazar, Hachi Kamar, Le Rabban, Rafil Recha get Aimbo. And again, a clarification. Rav Yochanan is not passing like Rav Meir. Rav Yochanan is just telling you that according to Rav Meir, in the absence of signatures, the get is a zero. Okay. So Shalach Le Rabbi Abba Barzav Nomar Barmar by me name Rav Huna Halacha, Rav Elazar begin, no, Ein Halacha. So he wants to know, is the halacha like Rav Elazar when it comes to get? Yes or no? So, ad hachi nach nafshei de Rav Huna. Now, it happens to be that Rav Huna passed away. As the question was asked to Rav Huna, but unfortunately, he did not have time to answer the question before he passed away. Amalei Rabba Berei. So, hachi amar Abba, mishmei de Rav Elazar, ke Rav Elazar begitin. So, but his son told him, look, Rachmanus, in other words, my father passed away, but here's what he would have answered, right? I know what my father's position is. And that is, Allah is like Rav Elazar, but only as it relates to Gittin. V'rabba sin, abikim b'davar Allah mishum Rabbeinu Amru, Allah ka Rav Elazar begin. The Amr of Chama bar Gurya, Amr of Allah ka Rav Elazar begin. And the Gemara quotes other Amorim who say that the Allah is like Rav Elazar when it comes to get. But only when it comes to get, but not when it comes to, when it comes to other stars. Iga da Amre, and a different version. The students of Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu over here meaning Rav, in the name of Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu here being Rav, Halachi Rav Elazar begin, da Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Chama, Bar Gurya, Amar Rav Halachi Rav Elazar begin. Okay, so over here the Chavareinu, right? The conclusion is going to be the same. It just happens to be the Chavareinu over here happens to be Rav Chista. Okay, v'chein ki asa Ravin, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Halachi Rav Elazar begin. Okay, so the Gemara now. As a conclusion to this very fundamental debate, so the Gemara says, Allah is like Rav Elazar, but only in the realm of Gittin, but not in other areas of Shtaros. Shtari Mammon, the Allah is not like Rav Elazar, but when it comes to Gittin, the Allah is in fact like Rav Elazar. Okay, as far as the bottom line Allah is concerned, so it is not as clear as the Gemara just laid it out. Okay, on a different occasion, so we'll speak more in terms of, now, I don't know if we're going to speak more, but in other words, there's more to go into in terms of who the halacha falls like, whether it falls like Rav Elazar or like Rebbe Meir. We are going to go on. Okay, we're on Peivav Amud Beis, and we are now at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. Okay, we're going to now go over getting that are involved more than one person. Okay, so Shnaim Sheshachu Shnei Gittin Shavim V'Nisarvu. So the first case of the Mishnah over here is a very simple case, and that is that two husbands are sending gittin to their wives, and lo and behold, they all got the same names. The husbands have the same name, the wives have the same names. And as a coincidence now, so two gets are being curried to the wives of these two men. So, right, in other words, it's a monogamous marriage, but in other words, each one of them are getting divorced, and it just happens to be that everyone's sharing the same name. So, and now what happens was Tyrovis, the two gittin got mixed up. So the courier now is currying these two gittin, and they're in his bag. And now as he opens up his bag, so obviously he should have been more careful, but right, the Mishnah over here is obviously using this as an example to make a point. And now as he takes out the two gittin, so he looks at the two gittin, he looks at the two women, and he doesn't know which one is supposed to go to which woman, because all markers are the same. Same names of the husband, same names of the women. Which get do I give to which woman? I don't know.
What do the male witnesses?
Let's, again, just for the purpose of the example, everything's the same. So, okay. So, no saying Shnehem Lezu, Shnehem Lezu. So what you do is the following, and that is that, okay, this is a solvable problem. And that is that now what the Shlech is going to do is he's going to take the get, give it to woman A, right? And he's going to take the second get and also give it to woman A. Meaning, okay, one of those two were intended for her, and so therefore she has received her get. Even though at the time of reception she didn't know which one was the right one, but ultimately when I take the sum total of the two, one of them is the right one. And you'll do the second for the second woman as well. You will give her the two gittin, and again you'll hand her each one, and one of them is going to be the correct one. Now, if you lost one of those two after you mixed it up and you lost one of those two, so now it no longer becomes a solvable problem, it becomes an unsolvable problem. Okay. Chamisha shekasvu klabasocha get. Okay, now, next part of the Mishnah, which is where we're going to be spending most of our daf today discussing, is going to be, can I have multiple couples divorcing in a single document? Okay. Again, in other words, just take emotion out of it. It's obviously extraordinarily sad, but okay. In other words, I'm just quick recognition of how tragic it is. But in other words, right now, as far as the halacha is concerned, we want to know, can a single document be used in order for multiple couples to get divorced? So the Mishnah says yes, and the Mishnah says no. That's clear, right? So so it depends on how the document is structured. And what we're going to see together right now in the Mishnah is that if it's structured in one way, so then yes, multiple couples can get divorced with a single get document. If it's structured the wrong way, so then multiple couples cannot get divorced in a single document. Okay, I know I wasn't clear, but the Mishnah is going to just say exactly what I just said. The Mishnah is going to make it out to be that these two cases obviously are different, obviously. And what we're going to do in the Gemara is we're going to clarify. When can a single document work for multiple couples? And when can a single document not work for multiple couples? Let's see all this inside. Chamisha shekasvu klal besoch haget. Ish ponim megarish ponim se ponim uflonis v'ahidim alamata. Kulang shem v'inasna l'chol achas v'achas. Okay. If it was a collectively written get, right? I just took the word klal and translated into English, even though it's not clear what I said. But it's okay. In a moment, we're going to get clarity. If it was collectively written, so then it works for every couple. Now, obviously, what you have to do with this single document is that there needs to be a nesina to each one of the women. So now what you're going to do is couple number one is he's going to give it to her. Okay, great. She's divorced. Now, second couple, so give it back to the second husband. Now he'll give it to his wife, and it'll work v'chule v'chule, as long as it was written collectively. Again, I know that word's not clear, but I'm saying it. Now, haya kosev tofes acholecha ve'chaveidim alamata she'edim nikrim imo kosher. But what if it was not written collectively? What if it was written individually? Still a single document, but written individually. I know that term is not clear. We're going to come and try to clarify that in just a moment. Tofes acholecha ve'echad. So then the Mishnah says, so then it's not going to work. It's not going to work for anybody except for that last couple. Meaning, obviously, if you could just simply picture now the actual document itself, and now you have the Adam who have now signed on the bottom. Their signatures will be relevant, but only to the last couple that's mentioned on the get. All the aforementioned couples on the get are not going to be included in this get. Okay.
For the first case, the Mishnah, that's a kosher get with kosher Adam written by someone and given. How do the Chachamim have the power to mevatel a valid get?
The get is okay. Totally understood your question, and I saw people speak about this. In other words, the language of the Mishnah is Hare Hasheni Batel. Sheni Batel is not to be understood literally. Oh, I got you. Sheni Batel just simply means you can't use it. In other words, right? The language of Batel is over here not to be understood super literally. Can I attach a name to that thought? Yeah, that's the Ran, right? He quotes the Ran over here, right? The fine. In fact, the Ran goes so far to say is that if let's say you were to use the one get that you have and actually give it to each one of the wives will be divorced mi suffik. Perfect. Perfect. Okay. Okay. Man Tana. So who's the author of our Mishnah? Meaning now we're going back to the first case of the Mishnah. So again, two gittin, every marker is the same names of husbands, wives, same edim, and now they got mixed up. So what do? So I hand, right, assuming that I still have both of them, I hand each one of them to each of the women. And it works. So mantan amar of yirmeh deloka Rabbi Lazar. Now this is not the sheet of Rabbi Lazar. Di Rabbi Lazar came into amar edim esiri karte, because what is the sheet of Rabbi Lazar? We just spent yesterday's daf going over it. We just started off today's daf by going over that the halacha is like Rabbi Lazar. He holds a mysterious karte. So halayade behind me now kamagasha. The assumption now is that, well, according to Rabbi Lazar, this is an unsolvable problem. Why? Because as you're handing each of the get into each of the wives, you don't know which one is affecting the get. And according to Rabbi Lazar, what do I need? Ede mesira. And what we're assuming right now, this is an assumption, and the Gemara is going to challenge it momentarily. What we're assuming right now is that the Ede Mesira need to be Lishma. Meaning that as you're handing the document from him to her, in this case the Shliach, but still, obviously the Shliach is his agent. As you're handing the document from him to her, so now the Edim have to know, this is the document that's creating severance. And in the case that is currently under review, the Edim do not know that. So therefore, according to Rav Lazar, it's simply not going to work. Right. So Abai Amar Afilotema Rebbe Lazar Ema Dabai Rebbe Lazar Ksiva Lishman Nesin Lishman Mibai. And Abai says, I'm going to push back on your assumption. You think that according to Rav Lazar, it's true according to Rav Lazar, Edim Mesira Karte. That part I get. But you're assuming that the Edim Mesira need Lishma. Abai says, here's what I'm pushing back. The Ksiva has to be done Lishma. Right? The Vichasav Law. You write for her. There is absolutely a Lishma requirement. That is a tenet. Right? The Rambam in the beginning of Gerushin goes over the 10 tenets of Gittin. This is a tenet. The get has to be written Lishma. But according to Rav Elazar, the ksiva of the get has to be written, has to be done Lishma. The Mesira does not have to be done Lishma. So Abaye says that you're working with a false assumption. You think that according to Rav Elazar, the Mesira has to be done Lishma. That's not true.
But when he gives them both, then it's surely Lishma. One of them is surely.
Right.
If he gave them both, if he gave him one, I could understand. If he gave him both.
Right. But in other words, but in the, before we got to Abaye, what the Gemara thought is that the Mesira has to be done Lishma. The only way that it could be done properly with Lishma is that you know which one is affecting. In other words, he gave them both. But the Ede Mesira don't know which one's affecting. And since they don't know, so therefore you're lacking in Lishma. That was the assumption. But Abaye says, I'm pushing back. Because Abaye says the ksiva has to be done Lishma, the Mesira does not have to be done Lishma. Okay. Chamisha Shekasvi Kla. Okay, so this is now going to be where we're going to be spending the bulk of our time today, and that is the single get that is used for multiple couples. And now, here's what we learned in our Mishnah. If written collectively, so then it works collectively for all five couples. If written separately, now separately meaning still one document, but it's separated on the document, so then it doesn't work for all five. It only works for the fifth couple. Now, the fifth couple, I'm saying that's the last one that presents itself on the document before the Edim sign on the bottom. Ah. So what we need to do is that we need to understand what does that mean, a collective versus separate. Okay? And what do you think is going to happen? I'll tell you. The Amorim are going to debate exactly what the definitions are of klal versus Tofes Achol Echa Ve'echa. Okay, it's going to be a machlok between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So Hechidami Klal and Hechidami Tofes. So I'm Rav Yochanan, Zman Echad L'Kulan, Klal. Zman L'Chol Echa Ve'echad, Zeu Tofes. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, it is an extraordinarily fine line that separates Klal versus Tofes Achol Echa Ve'echad, and that's going to be Zman, dating. Meaning, now, what there really are two different ways you could say this. I'm going to present this in the Gemara's conclusion, right? And that is that, so we have Reuven and his wife, Shimon and his wife, Levi and his wife, Yehuda and his wife, okay? Right? And Yisachar and his wife, okay? So, and each one of them are written. According to Rav Yochanan, for it to be a collective, You simply date it one time, right? On the, I don't know, what's today? The 11th? On the 11th day of August. I know, it's, I give the English date. Mm-hmm. So on the 11th day of August, so so the, and then you run down the husbands, their wives, and according to Rav Yochanan, that's klal, that's collective. If on the other hand, you keep reinserting the date, and let's assume right now it's the same date. Right, we don't have to assume that, but let's assume that right now. Let's assume it's the same date, and you keep reinserting the same date, so you know what you've done. That is now a tofes ochlecha v'echad. That creates separation. And when now I have the witnesses signing on the bottom, they're only signing on the one directly above them, and not anyone before that, because all of them have been separated by a resetting of the date. That is according to Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish Amar Afilu Zman L'Cholecha L'Kula Nami Ave. Toface. So no, even if I put a date in between each one, that is still considered. Let's do that again. Let's do that correctly. Even if I date one time, it's still considered individualized. So ela echidam miklal. So then, how do I create a collective? So the cause of anu ploni uflonis gerashin shosenu ploni uflonis. So what you have to do is you have to say anu, we the people. Okay. So anu, we are divorcing our wives. So over here, grammatically, you have to use a language that puts everybody together. Collective. No. Okay, fine. So what we have over here is a machlok between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish in terms of what's collective versus what's individualized. According to Rav Yochanan, collective is where it's one date and then everyone's names are, every couple's listed separately. That's collective. And meanwhile, if I reset the date again and again and again, that's separate. That's Rav Yochanan. Zman. And according to Reish Lakish, no. What creates a collective is going to be the Anu, the we. Maskev l'Rab Abba l'Rav Yochanan. So here's what we're going to do now for the almost the entirety of the Amud Aleph. And that is that we're going to be challenging each position. First, we're challenging Rav Yochanan. So Maskel v'Rab Abba l'Rav Yochanan. So Damas Man Echa l'Chulan Zeu Klal Dilma Ki Chas Masad Yabasur Dechasimi. So okay. So let's say the date was only written once. So what? So Milo Tanya Edim Chasum Al Shelo Shalom Beget Pasuk Chayshin Shema Al Shelo Shalom Chasmu. So let's say the following. Here's the halacha. You write the Nusach Haget and then you add one more line. All right, you shouldn't, but in other words, the person added one more line. And that is, please send my regards to your uncle, right? I really like him. Okay. Admittedly, by the way, not appropriate to add anything to the get, and certainly Sheila Shalom is certainly not appropriate to add to the get, but that's not our point. Our point is the following. Then the witnesses are signing, so what are they signing on? So it could very well be that the only thing that they're signing on is Sheila Shalom, the regards that are given. Now regards usually do not have any halachic significance. So the idea that the Edom are signing on the Sheila Shalom is, almost. It's not funny. It's not comical. But, in other words, you're right. It certainly, I could see this being, from a morbid standpoint, it's funny. So, but the point the Gemara is making is the following. When witnesses are signing on the document, they're signing on the text of the document. But if there are multiple points that are made in the document, here's the point. If there are multiple points that are made in the document and the Edom are signing on the bottom, they're only signing on the last point that's made, unless, now I'm going to give away the Gemara's answer, unless there's a Vav HaChibur, unless there's connective tissue between each of the points. So the Gemara says, okay, I give away the answer. So La Vidmar Lamer Rabbi Abba L'Didi Mefar Shalimine De Rav Yochanan Sha'alu Pasul V'Sha'alu Kasher Hachinam Dechsiv Ploni Uploni Ufloni. I'm sorry. Let's do that again with better emphasis. Ploni, ufloni, ufloni. So what we're doing now is a vav chibur, meaning that you're right. If I have separate points made on the document and the witness is signed on the bottom and there is no vav chibur, so you're right. They're only signing on the last point. However, with a vav chibur that connects every point in the document, and therefore we are talking about where there's a vav chibur. So the Gemara says Rav Yochanan is fine. Vesula Rav Yochanan damar zman lechol echad zeo tofes. So the Gemara says, now according to Rav Yochanan, if it's zman lechol echad, if I reset the date, so my year yomishum tofes tepuklei dehavalei nechta bayom nechta nichtav bayom nechta malayla. So right now, here's what the Gemara is assuming. When we're resetting the date, it's a new date. It's a new date. In other words, for the first couple, they signed it today. For the second couple, it was the next day. And now with the resetting of the date, it's a new date. And now the Gemara says, now I'll tell you what's problematic. And that is the witnesses are signing on a document that was written one day and signed the other. Meaning for the first four couples, it was written on a different day. And we learned earlier in the Masechta, Nechtav Bayom V'Nechtam Balayla, it's no good. The signature has to be done on the day that's written. So Amalei Mar Kishisha, Breda Rav Chisla, Rav Ashi, Ach Amrina, Mishmei Rav Yochanan, Dichzibu B'chad B'Shaba, B'chad B'Shaba. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you assumed wrong. You assumed that when Rav Yochanan was talking about resetting the date, it's a new date. It's not a new date. It's the same day. Meaning the five couples are all using one document, and we're resetting the date, meaning for each new couple, you're just simply writing as a quick intro on the first day of the week, and you give the date. It's the same date. Okay. But still, because we're resetting the date, that is now individualizing the couples. And once again now, in terms of who is now going to get divorced, it's only going to be the fifth couple. Amalei Ravina L'Rav Ashi L'Reish Lakish. Okay. So what we did is we attacked Rav Yochanan two times over, defended Rav Yochanan two times over. Okay, now we're going to give some attention to Reish Lakish. Amalei Ravina L'Rav Ashi Reish Lakish D'Amar Zman L'Chol Echad L'Kula Nami Tofei Savei. So all we did is just restate the position of Reish Lakish. You must say Anu. So the Gemara says, with all that stated, So the Gemara says, here's now, according to Reish Lakish, here's the problem. It's a fundamental issue. You can't use a single document to divorce multiple women. Meaning. Now, I know this is a little bit nuanced, but it's an important nuance. It's important. Meaning, over here, obviously, we're having multiple divorces with using one document. But that's fine. Meaning that it's a single document, but in other words, serving multiple couples. But once you're using a single document for multiple divorces, so now that you can't do. Let's say, for example, a simple example. A husband who is married to more than one wife, and that's it. He's had it. And he wants to divorce the two of them. He can't use a single document to divorce his two wives. Right? In other words, and that's a drasha. V'chas of la, v'lo la u'lechaverta. You have to divorce her, not her, and her friend. In other words, so over here, once you phrase, this is according to Reish Lakish, once you phrase the get using the word anu, so isn't now that going to be a violation of la, v'lo la, v'lo chaverta? So the Gemara says, how do... According to Rav Yochanan, you don't say the word anu.
No,
in other words... In other words, according to Rav Yochanan, the cases of... The reason why it works for the five couples is because even though it's one get, but in other words, the five couples are all individualized. So in other words, from the perspective of the one husband, one of the five husbands, I'm using this document to divorce my wife. And each one of the couples are doing the same thing. Over here, once you say anu, according to Reish Lakish, so it sounds like, right, it sounds like they are divorcing them, which is now going to be a violation of la velo chaverta. So hadar kasav ploni gerish plonis, plonish gerish plonis. So the Gemara says is that, solution goes like this, according to Reish Lakish. You have to say anu. Why do you have to say anu? In order to create a collective. But in order so that you don't violate the rule of la velo chaverta, you then afterwards also have to individualize. In other words, according to Reish Lakish, you're doing both. Well, in other words, you have to solve for two problems. Number one, you have to make it a collective so that when the witnesses sign on the bottom, they're signing for everybody. But at the same time, you also have to not violate the rule of la, v'lo of la, v'lo chaverta. Am le'ravin le'rav ashi u'mayishna me'ha detanya, kosev kon le'chasuf l'shnei avadav, mishachrin zedzeh. So the Gemara says, okay, so you just told me that I'm not allowed to use a single document to divorce multiple women. So the Gemara says, what about the following? Now, this is not divorce, but it's similar, and that is get shechur, which we've discussed extensively in our Masechta. And by get shechur, so what the owner does is that he gives over all of his possessions to his two avadim, Right? That's the only ones that are leaving behind, or even if they're not the only ones leaving behind, but it doesn't matter. In other words, he gives all of his estate to his two avadim. So now, as the person dies, they now become owners of themselves. But the problem is that there are two of them, and so now each one of them is owning themselves and the other Eved. So now the solution is they're meshachar each other. Fine. Meshachar and zed zed. Now, that's really not the point the Gemara is focusing on right now. What the Gemara is focusing on is how can you can use one document to go ahead and free the two of them. So the Gemara says, V'lavu kivna b'shtei shtaros. The Gemara says, okay. So, right, we've covered this already, says the Gemara, and we already gave an ukimta. It's not one document that was used. It was two documents that was used. Oh, okay. Simple question. Not a simple question, but in other words, simple answer. We just give an ukimta. Okay. Tanya Kavasa de Rav Yochanan, Tanya Kavasa de Reish Lakish. So, we have gone over now the one document that's used for five couples. When done collectively, it works for all five. When done individually, it only works for the fifth. And we also have covered so far today, this has been the bulk of our topic for today, a machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What's the definition of collective? What's the definition of individual? And now what the Gemara is going to do, this is textbook in terms of how Gemaras are structured. Now what we're going to do is that we're going to cite brisas, one supporting Rav Yochanan, another brisa supporting Reish Lakish. In other words, this machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish is an older machlokus amongst Tanayim. But we don't see the machlokus in the Mishnah, but we're going to see it clearly amongst the brisas. Tanya kavasa de Rav Yochanan chamisha shekasu betzocha gedish ploni megarish plonis ploni ufloni plonis. So, right, five couples. Same thing what we're discussing. Five couples. Vizman echa lekulan. And one date. Ve'edim milamata. Kulan kshirin. Visinasein lechol achas ve'achas. Okay. So over here in the Braisa, exactly like Rav Yochanan taught us. And that is that that with one date that's written on the top, and then the five couples articulated, so then it works. Obviously, each one of the couples has to do an asina. However, zman lechol echav echav eidim alamata, esh eidim nikraim emo kasher. So, but if, let's say, we're resetting the date again and again and again before we're introducing the next couple, so then it's individualized. Then it only works for number five, for couple number five. Rav Yehuda ben Bezera omer. So, im yesh revach b'neihem pasol, v'im lav kasher, ein zman mafsikan. Rav Yehuda ben Bezera says is that even if you're resetting the date, but there's no revach, there's no physical space between the couples. In other words, basically, you didn't make a new paragraph. So then, even if I reset the date, so according to Rav Yehuda ben Bezera, it's still collective and it still works for all five couples. Okay. Anyway, but before you get to that position of Rav Yehuda ben Bezera, in other words, the Tana Kama of that Braisa is exactly as Rav Yochanan presented. Tanya kavasa de Reish Lakish. Braisa supporting Reish Lakish. Chamisha shekasvu klal besocha get. Anu ploni ufloni. Gerashna neshosenu ploni uflonis. Ploni gerish plonis. Ploni gerish plonis. Uzman echad lekulan. Ve'edem alamata kulan ksherin. V'sinasein lechol achas ve'achas. Here we have a braisa that says exactly like Reish Lakish, which is, you use the word anu. Now, in the Braisa, by the way, remember that give and take that we had in Reish Lakish? You said anu, and on top of that, you also individualized. You have to do both. But in other words, but it works because you said anu. However, the lechol achas v'achad, zman lechol achas v'achad, v'revach lechol achas v'achad, v'edim alamata, et she'edim nikrai mimo kasher. However, if you just individualize and reset the date, and the edim are milamata, so the edim are only going to work for couple number five. Rabbi Meir Omer Afapishin Revach Beinam Pasol Shizman Mafsikan. Now here in this brisa, so even if no space exists between the two, between the five couples, but you reset the date, so the zman is going to be mafsik and individualized. Now Reish Lakish my area zman lechol echa ve'echad. Now the Gemara says, now although we quoted a brisa that supports Reish Lakish, but the Gemara says, but I'm still a little bit confused because according to Reish Lakish, even if I didn't reset the date. Remember, for Reish Lakish, what's critical? The Anu. We the people. Okay. So I keep going to the preamble of the Constitution. So anyway, but you have to say the word we. So the Amayt Yiri is Man L'chol Echa Ve'echad. V'ha Amar is Man L'chol Zman Echa L'kula Nami Tofei Tzavei. Meaning, so for Reish Lakish, what's critical is to say the word Anu. If you don't say the word Anu, so then it is not a collective. And so therefore the Bryce over here, blowing a little bit of smoke, right, confusing smoke, because the Bryce says if you reset the date, so then it's individualized. According to Reish Lakish, that's not true. Even if I don't reset the date, if I don't use the word Anu, it's not a collective. So Hani Meili Hechadol Arvinu Mikara. So e palaglu zman in ilolo. So the Gemara says, well, the so it's true that according to Reish Lakish, you have to use the word anu. However, if let's say at the beginning of the document you introduce everybody, right? Even if I don't say the word Anu, but you introduce everybody's name at the beginning, it's basically tantamount to saying the word Anu. So e palaglu in e lo lo. So then the Gemara says. So then you have to look at other ways of telling whether or not the get is collective versus whether it's individualized. Meaning, if there's space in between, if they're resetting the date, et cetera. Okay, but ena chinami. In other words, you have to do according to Reish Lakish. You have to introduce with the words Anu we. Or, alternatively, you just introduce everyone's name at the beginning. Okay. That kind of takes us to really the big topic of today. Using a single get document in order to create multiple divorces. Can it work? Yes. Under what circumstances? See above. Meaning that's what we just discussed for the last half an hour. Okay. We're going to finish up today. We're going to go through the next sugya. Okay. Next sugya is very visual. So, and the truth of the matter is that obviously I'm going to describe it in really short order. And so over here, if you got pictures, I bet you do. So you're good. So if you got pictures, so then it's really helpful because it's very visual what we're about to do. So pictures are going to be worth more than a lot of my words. Shnegitin, shekasvam zeh betzad zeh. So over here now, we just introduced ourselves to the idea that I could use a single document for multiple divorces. Over here, we're going to format a little bit differently. Over here now, the two getting are going to be written on a single document, but it's two columns, side by side. Zeh bitzad zeh. Shnayim edim ivrim bayim mitachat zeh latachat zeh. And shnayim edim yevanim bayim mitachat zeh latachat zeh. Okay, so over here, if you have an illustration, it's really helpful. I'm looking right now at a two-column get, right side, left side. And I'm looking now at four signatures on the bottom. It happens to be that two of them are writing it in a language called Ivri, otherwise known as Hebrew. And two of them are signing underneath them in Greek. Okay. In our pre-daf discussion today, so we went over that Hebrew is written, well, this we already knew. So Hebrew is written from right to left and English is written from left to right. Okay, what's the norm and what's the... And what's the outlier? So interestingly enough, Hebrew is the outlier, right? Hebrew and Arabic, okay? I spoke to my fact checkers today, so if anyone wants to correct me, that's fine. But the Hebrew and Arabic are the two languages that are written from right to left. All other languages are from left to right.
Some are Semitic,
huh? Some are written down. The ancient writing is down. Okay. Okay. Good. So the but that's more information than what we need to know. All we need to know for the purposes of this is that Hebrew is right to left and Greek is left to right. And so now, and the signatures are covering the entire span of the bottom. And so now what we're doing over here is that we're watching the four signatures. The first two signatures are going from right to left, and the next two signatures are that are going from left to right. So, Eshay Demarishon Nikraimimo Kasha. So the witnesses that are directly underneath the two first signatures is what's going to be kosher. The two below that are not going to be kosher. And so therefore, we're assuming, and Gemara is going to be pushing back on this, but we're assuming right now that only the right column is going to work and the left column is not going to work. Okay. Now, Eid Echad Ivri, Eid Echad Yavani, Eid Echad Ivri, Eid Echad Yavani. So bayim mitachat zeh letachat zeh. So now we're going to do the following. Same setup. Two columns. The right side, left side. Right side is for one couple. Left side is for another couple. I have four witnesses signing on the bottom. The four witnesses are spanning the entire width of the page. And now signature number one is writing right to left. Signature number two is going left to right. And then third is right to left, and fourth is left to right. And again, by the way, if you're seeing this, it's so much easier. So what do we have over here? We don't have two consecutive witnesses that are signing in the same direction. And so therefore, the Mishnah says, Shnei Psulim. So now we don't have a get. Not a single one of them is going to be kosher. Because I don't have directly underneath one of the columns two witnesses signing consecutively. Okay, so far so good. Veliskasher hi beruvein v'hai beben Yaakov eid. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, so obviously the Mishnah is working with the assumption that only one of the columns is going to work, and the Gemara says basically, why? Why do you assume that? In other words, why can't I simply say that even with the first two witnesses who signed, why can't I say that when they span the entire bottom, their signature is going to work for both columns, right column and left column? Here is what I'm going to suggest as the Gemara. So the right column should be fine with the word Reuven underneath it. In other words, we're assuming the names that are signed underneath are Reuven ben Yaakov Eid. Those four words. Reuven ben is under the right column, and Yaakov Eid is under the left column. So why can't I say that Reuven ben under the right column is going to be serving as signatures for the right column, and the next two words, Yaakov Eid, is going to be sufficient for the left column? Ben Ishploni Eid Kusher. In fact, just saying the words Ben Ishploni by itself, Ben Ishploni Eid, is Kusher. Meaning that when you sign your name, so what do you have to write? What is the basic minimum that you need to write as a signature? So obviously what you write is your name. Okay. When I sign, I write. Okay, I know this is going to confuse you. My name is not Binyamin. Okay, so personal information right here. So my Hebrew name is Dov Gedalia. So when I sign, I write Dov Gedalia ben Meir, aid. Good, nice and simple. So but meanwhile, basic minimum we just learned together in a Mishnah is that I don't even have to write Dov Gedalia. I could just simply say ben Meir, aid, and that's sufficient. So had the non ben Ishponi aid kasher. So the kasa Reuven ben Akama v'Yaakov aid Abasra. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're right. Meaning, under normal circumstances, the Ben Yaakov, I'm going to leave myself out of this. Now we're going to go back to the example in the Mishnah, right? We're assuming Reuven Ben Yaakov, aid. So the Gemara says is that what's happening in our Mishnah is that Reuven Ben, the word Reuven Ben is under column under the right column, and Yaakov aid is under the left column. So the Gemara says, so that's why I can't have the signature working for both columns. Meaning, if I had Reuven under the first column and then under the second column, Ben Yaakov Eid, then it works. So then it works for both columns. But over here in our Mishnah, Reuven Ben is under column number one and Yaakov Eid is under column number two. V'liskasher hai b'Reuven Ben, v'liskasher hai b'Yaakov Eid. So the Gemara says, okay, so fine. So you configured it so that I have two words under column A and two words under column B. The Gemara says, I think that should work to add none. Ish ploni aid. Kosher. So the Gemara says that even if I just simply say the words ish ploni aid, that in of itself is going to be sufficient. So the Gemara.
Assuming it's her name. That's what aid is not for
me. So the Gemara says, the locus of aid. So in other words, under the left column, so he just wrote Yaakov. And just writing the word Yaakov by itself is insufficient. So e by zemelo olam dekas of aid. The Gemara says no. Maybe not. Maybe he wrote the word aid. The yidin b'hai chasim adalav Yaakovu. So the Gemara says yeah. But in other words, I have to treat each column separately. In other words, these are two gittin. They just happen to be written on the same page. And so therefore, what I have to look is what's underneath. Now underneath the left column. Let's call it column B. Right, I'm using the English language now. I'm going from right to left. I know all this is confusing. If you're looking at a picture, it's so much more helpful. But anyway, I'm looking under column B. So under column B, what do I have? I have the words Yaakov Eid. Okay, so now I have to treat that as just the two words Yaakov Eid. Okay, fine. Now, in of itself, does that work? Yes. Yes, that works by itself. The problem is that...
You're missing your witness on the right.
The problem now is that that's not Yaakov's signature, meaning it's Yaakov the word, but it's not Yaakov the person. In other words, that's not how Yaakov signs his name. Meaning, I understand right now currently who's signing is not Yaakov, but rather the son of Yaakov, Reuven. So, in other words, if I was treating this as Reuven's signature, that's perfect because Reuven's the one signing it. But now as I look at the second column, the left-hand column, and the only name underneath is Yaakov, and now I only could treat that as Yaakov, but that's not Yaakov's signature. Yaakov doesn't sign that way. Reuven signs that way. So the Gemara says, so that's the problem. So the Di'inan b'Hachasimah d'Lav Yaakov who...
Okay. Column.
The right column is fine. The word aid by itself is not. You don't need to add the word aid, right? It's pretty clear from the Gemara that the word aid is not absolutely required.
But by the left column, you do need it.
In other words, the Gemara's problem is that you seem to have enough information in the left column. You have the word Yaakov and you have the word aid. That by itself is fine.
So the aid will go for the entire line.
No, not necessarily. No, I don't need aid per se. I just need a name.
So just write Yaakov.
Again, let's say that's enough. Let's say that's sufficient. The problem now is that that's not Yaakov signing it. Meaning I can only treat that as Yaakov, but that's not Yaakov. That's Reuven's signature. You're not Yaakov's signature. Okay. So Dilma Bishma de Avu Achasim. So the Gemara says, well, so maybe we should be machshir the get. Why? I'm sorry. We turn to the Amud Beis. So Dilma Bishma de Avu Achasim. So the Gemara says, well, maybe Reuven, when he signs, he borrows his father's signature. In other words, he signs in the way that his father does. So the Gemara says, Lo shavikin shmei v'chasim shma davua. The Gemara says, no, people don't do that. In other words, people don't, when they sign their name, they don't write somebody else's name. That's not what people do. So the Gemara says, Dilma siman eshavya. So the Gemara says, what do you mean that's not what people do? In other words, have you seen people's signatures? Okay, my signature is totally illegible and... I'm in good company. Most people's signatures are perfectly illegible. So Dilma Simana Shavya, Rav Tsari Kavra, Rav Chanina Charusa, Rav Chista Samech, Rav Hoshia Ayin, Rav Abba Rav Huna Tsari Makusa. So the Gemara says, look at these Amorim and how they sign. Right? The Gemara gives many examples. I'll just stick with Rav's example. And that is, he would sign using a fish. Okay? He would draw a picture of a fish. And and that would be a signature. Everybody knows. Right, that when you see a fish at the end of a document, oh, that's Rav, right? Signature just simply has to be something which is recognizable. It has to be something personable and recognizable, and everyone knows that's him, right? It's just a simon. It shows that this person was the one who signed it. It does not have to be, it doesn't even have to be a word. And over here, if let's say people ask you to sign your name, and I decide, you know what? Instead of writing my name, I'm going to write somebody else's name. That would work as a signature, right? And so the Gemara is pushing back on, well, maybe he's signing, but he's using his father's name. And the Gemara is saying, and is that really problematic? Is that any worse than Rav using a fish as a signature? So the Gemara says, Gemara says, yes, it's actually worse. So lo chatzivinish l'shav l'shma d'avu simana. So the Gemara says, look, if you want, instead of writing your name, you want a simon, that's great. You want to write a fish, that's great. A samach, that's great. An ayin, that's great. But your father's name, that's not respectful. The Gemara says, lo chatzif inish. It's an act of chutzpah, meaning it's a lack of kibud av aim to take your father's name and use it as your signature. Okay. Let's just leave it at that. L'skasher hai b'shnei edim ivrim, v'l'skasher hai b'shnei edim yivanim. So the Gemara says, okay. One more point of clarification for today. And that is that, okay. We have in our Mishnah now two columns side by side. We have four signatures on the bottom, the first two going right to left, the second two going from left to right. And what do we say in our Mishnah? That only the first two signatures are going to be working for the right column, but the signatures 3 and 4 cannot be working for the left column. Why? Because obviously they are not signing directly underneath. And therefore it's no good. The Gemara says, I don't understand. L'skasher hai b'shnei edim ivrim. And l'skasher hai b'shnei edim yivanim. So I should be machshir both columns. Why did none? Geshe kasvu ivris ve'ed of yivanis. Yivanis ve'ed of ivris kasher. So in other words, I don't have to have a match in languages. V'chitim etikim demuflag b'shnei shitim. Lo. So the Gemara says, okay, it's not the language issue, meaning it's not a language barrier. It's a space issue. Mm-hmm. In other words, for the left column, so the signatures are 2 lines later, or I should say even better, 3 lines later, meaning the first 2 lines are now occupied, which has nothing to do with this over here, and only now, three lines later, do I have a signature. So the problem is space. The Amr Chizkia Mil'u Bekrovim Kasher. So the Gemara says, space, as long as you occupy space, you can occupy space with whatever you want. Meaning, I have the text of a document, I have the signatures below, and it's not directly underneath, and there's space. What we could do is that you could fill in that space with nonsensical signatures. Now, I say nonsensical signatures, right? The example given over here is Krovim, right? In other words, relatives. Obviously, relatives are pasul la'edus. They can't testify. All we're looking over here is to fill space because we don't want any empty space. I think we all understand, but I will spell it out. What's the problem with empty space between the text and the signatures? Obviously, it will give you an opportunity to write an addendum at that point in time, changing whatever the content of the shtar is, changing, modifying, right? Making conditions. You don't want space between the text and the signatures. So that's fine. So you fill it in, and you can fill it in even with Krovim. So Ahatani is the Irish name Ksherim. So the Gemara says, so Enachinami. So the so Ziri will say that that both columns are kosher. Okay. Now obviously that's not what our Mishnah taught us, but Ziri, in other words, faced with this challenge of, well, both columns should be fine. I understand the signatures for the left hand column are lower, but the space is filled in, so everything should be fine. So in Echinami, so when Ziri teaches this Mishnah, he uses the words kosher. Good, Vitani Didan. So the Gemara says, so what about our Tana? So the Gemara says, so now let's try to give a pshat in our Tana, meaning that if you teach that it's kosher, we understand. In other words, but our Tana doesn't teach that it's kosher. And I to make this point clear, allow me please, Ziri is not changing the nusach of our Mishnah. Meaning when Ziri went over the case, he said it's kosher. Not changing the nusach of our Mishnah. Okay, so we have a nusach of our Mishnah that says that it's pasul. How do you learn our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Dilma gundalis chasim. Kulu echad hu dechasime. So the Gemara says as follows. You know what the problem with our Mishnah is? The problem with our Mishnah is that, look, all four people got together and signed together. Okay. So now the first two witnesses signed. They signed in Hebrew. So they went from right to left. Now, the second witnesses, who are Greek, so they're like, we're going to sign our names in Greek, but we saw the first two witnesses sign, they went from right to left. You know what we're going to do? We're also going to go from right to left. Now, we're writing in Greek, but we're going to go from right to left. And?
So it'll be the father's name first, followed by the son.
Right. So the, right. And in doing so now, right? Yeah. In doing so, now they are signing, but incorrectly. Look at Rashi over here. Rashi, Dilma Gundalis Chasam. Bahani Yevanim Chayshin and Dilma Gundalis Chasam. Chad Minayu. Shema Yevani Arishon Chasam Kaseder Ivri. Shechasam Lamala Himanish Shemot Tchila Vachakach Shem Aviv. V'nimsa Shalasheni Hu Chasum. V'Ivri Sheni Rowan Shalasheni Chasam. V'Yavan Acharav Chasam Kemenago. Okay, so it could very well be that now one of the Greek people is going to be going in reverse order. And in doing so, not signing correctly. And therefore, what we do not have now are two kosher edim under each of the columns. Meaning it may be a split of 3 and 1, or it may be 4 and 0.
I think what it means is that the Hebrew one will have the father.
Right.
And the Greek one will have the son.
Right, right.
So it's a father with son, it doesn't match.
Right. Okay, and let's do this one more time. So now we're up to the last case of the Mishnah. Last case of the Mishnah, I had Hebrew, Greek. Right, 4 signatures, but in other words, interweaving between right to left, left to right. Right, 1 and 3 were right to left, and 2 and 4 were left to right. So, Eda Chadivri Veda Chadivani, Vliskasher, Hai Beda Chadivri Veda Chadivani. So, Hai Beda Chadivri Veda Chadivani. So the Dahadnan Eda Chadivri Veda Chadivani Kasher. So Atani Zirish named Ksherim. So again, the Gemara wants to know, look, just because we change languages, so what? So the Gemara says Ziri, in fact, teaches that they're both kosher. Vitana didan, again, that's great, meaning according to Ziri. But what about our Mishnah? So Dilma Gunda Lischasam, Klasa Echad Vechad Echad. So the Gemara says again, what we have to concern ourselves with is that once one of the Greek people is watching the Hebrew person sign, so instead of going in the normal direction in which he goes Shalok Kedarko. He goes in a different direction. And so therefore, his signature is therefore no good. It's now going to go to the other side. And as a result of that, it's going to be 3-1. Or again, 4-0. Good. Adkan, we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow, we'll start with the Mishnah, right in the middle of Pei Zayin Amud Beis.
What does that mean? The closer effort.